Mi Manda Niganin Podcast. Mi Gwech Bezindamek.
Ani Bojo Kinwea, Mishkiki Nibagokwe, Da Nishnabe Noswenawan, Kerry Dijnakonago, Makwa Ndodem, Ginabajing Donjaba, Anishnabe Ndao, Niganin Services, Donjanaki, Sheher Dunkazin, and Gitchen and Dum Mampiwiyan. Welcome, everybody, to the Niganin Podcast. I'm Kerry Kamanda from beautiful Serpent River First Nation on the north shore of Lake Huron, and I'm joined here by some special guests today, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I have Dorothy Code, who brought a friend with her, and I'll get her to introduce herself and our special guest.
Ani Kinawea, Dorothy Dishnaka, Scraven Hurst Donjaba, Bawati Megwa Doda, Donjanaki, Niganin, Anishnagama Endow, Seneca Mima Jaganosh Endow, Gamashigeka Mumsi Dodam, Kichinenda Mumpia. I am very happy to be here along with my friend Mike Natto. And Mike, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Ani, good morning or good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Natto, and I am the Chief Executive Officer with the Sault Ste. Marie Social Services Board. I reside in Sault Ste. Marie, so a couple hours away from Elliott Lake, originally from Manitoulin Island, and very, very excited to come here and speak with you today.
All right, Mi Gwech, thank you for joining us today. So I was really excited to hear that Dorothy was bringing a special guest with her. And I know we've been working to organize our schedules because everyone's focused on the things that we do and love to do, right? So glad you could join us today. Maybe Dorothy can share a little bit about what brings us all together.
Sure, I can do that, Kerry. So I manage the Anishna program with Niganin Services, which largely focuses on providing addictions and mental health supports to the seven First Nations along the North Shore. And what's exciting is we've just entered into a partnership with the District Social Services Board, which probably easier to call the DSAB, the acronym throughout the podcast, but we've entered into a partnership with the DSAB, which will allow our services to be offered to community members from the seven First Nations, from the Robinson-Huron Treaty territory, as well as Sault Ste. Marie residents as well. And in doing that, we can create those pathways so our community members that live in the Sioux for one reason or another, they can access those services from their community, from the North Shore Tribal Council and Niganin Services, enter into our land-based programming, and access our Kinemagewin project as it evolves in Thessalon as well.
All right. And so I'm really new to those kinds of things. So when you're talking about District Social Services Admin Board and the work they do, can you or Mike maybe explain a little bit more about what's involved there?
Sure, Kerry. So social services boards are responsible for within the geographic location of their jurisdiction, are responsible for the delivery of social assistance, Ontario Works. We're also the service manager for early years. So DSABs within their area fund all the childcare spaces within the community. We also are responsible for land-based emergency medical services. And our DSAB is a bit unique as we provide services from Garden River First Nation up to Montreal River within our territory. But we also have a land-based emergency medical services, EMS, located within Garden River First Nation as well. So we do provide service to Garden River First Nation, Batchewana First Nation, and Rankin within our area. And what brought this partnership a little bit closer is we are also the service manager for housing. So we provide services for social housing and homelessness services within our community as well. And that's where we have this great opportunity to strengthen the partnership with Niganin to provide a much, much, much better service model for community members that are experiencing homelessness within the region.
And so, Dorothy, maybe you can share with us when you started talking, or how did you connect with each other?
Well, we've been talking about different ways we could support each other probably for about the last year and a half. I think beyond that, more so between Mike and the director of Nogoning, but where I've been involved, it's been about the last year and a half. We've been looking for opportunities to be able to support each other's programming. And how do we do that? Where do we start? And how do we make that useful? And as well as just slowly building that trust to understand what each other's roles are. And then how do you maintain your independence as a program as you move forward into these partnerships with such a well-established and such a large organization? Like, the DSAP is such a large organization with so many existing policies and procedures and various departments. So how do we maintain what we do in the purity in which we do it? Those were some of my biggest hurdles, I guess, where do we start? And it really came back to, an initiative that DSAB started maybe around 7 years ago with the homelessness prevention team. And that made a lot of sense that we start in that realm, because you have this group of people on this homelessness prevention team that work within the DSAB doing good work, hard, challenging work with limited resources at times, but they're in the community, they're working with community members, and they were able to determine that, hey, we have such a large population of urban Indigenous folk accessing these services, and how do we provide them the services that they need, that they're entitled to, and do it in such a good way to make it meaningful and useful for them. But I don't know, maybe Mike, you could share a little bit about the homelessness prevention team and how that got started and that evolution to where it is today.
Yes. Yeah, so our homelessness prevention team has been working to try to end chronic homelessness within our community since 2013, 2014. And the only way that we believe that we can truly end chronic homelessness in our community is that we have is to work with all partners and all agencies and all nations to try to really improve the service and the quality of life for people within our community. So we have many agencies within the district that are part of that HPT, or the homelessness prevention team, that are already working very closely together. And when I started having conversations with the director of Nogoning about, is there a way that we can strengthen the partnership between, you know, the North Shore Tribal Council, Nogoning, and the people that were residing within the city of Sault Ste. Marie? How do we do this in a better way? We firmly believe that to end homelessness, people need supports that are culturally appropriate, and they need services in a manner that are respectful. So one of the challenges that Dorothy alluded to was, from Nogoning's perspective, was how does Nogoning provide services in an autonomous way that is part of a larger system? And I know at the DSAB, we also had that same challenge: as how do we have strategic partnerships with Nogoning, for example, in a way that does not dictate this way that services needs to be delivered. So we really approached this at the ground level, at least the DSAB. We really tried to approach this partnership initially from an honest and trusting perspective. We have a problem. We have increased homelessness within our community. Is Nogoning interested in working with us, and what would that look like? So we really tried to turn the conversation over to Dorothy and Elizabeth and team about, this is what we want to accomplish. We want to end or reduce chronic homelessness. We want to provide a better service to people within the city that were experiencing chronic homelessness. And we just asked, how could we do this as a system? So Dorothy came back with a proposed model that we believe will really, really strengthen the system and help people in a way that we've never been able to help people within our community before.
That sounds really, I don't want to say exciting. I mean, I guess it is kind of exciting, but I really appreciate that both of us, that's the Royal Us, I'm Niganin as well as DSAB, are servicing our folks, our people who are in community and need these services or could benefit from them if they, you know, were aware of them and had access to them. And that's always a challenge when we're serving our people and our communities of, there's so many different ways that people develop programs or these kinds of things. So the part I find really interesting, or I'm glad you're sharing about how you connected, is offering services to our people when sometimes we overlap with what other organizations do or can offer. And other times it's a way of looking, how do we connect with people that maybe we don't normally see, but we have things that we that would benefit them, right? So it sounds like it's been quite a long time in coming, developing this partnership. So glad to see it's moving forward. So what does it look like now? Like now that we're on the same page or working together, there connections been made? So how does that look?
So we officially started our partnership with Service Delivery September, and we're in the midst of hiring a dedicated team to provide those services to the DSAB, and that's going on. We still have a few more people to hire, and the first service that we've offered to the DSAB is our Service Ontario trailer. So we have a rotating schedule that started in the I believe September 21st, and we're rotating through five locations every Thursday, 10 to 2, at the hub locations, at the New Community Resource Center, and at the Pauline's Place, the Women's Shelter and Family Shelter in the Sioux. So far, so good. That's gone really well, and it's been a very positive reaction from the staff at those sites, from the community members that have accessed it, and just a whole new experience with addressing this barrier. I think for a lot of people, they don't see ID as a barrier, but for the community members that we serve in addictions and mental health and homelessness, ID is a huge barrier. Oftentimes people can't take the first step of recovery and of healing because they can't get into a treatment facility without a health card. And they can't get their health card if they don't have their birth certificate. So we know this is a huge barrier. That's why Niganin has the trailer. That's why Niganin almost was that trailblazing again to establish that first Indigenous-run Service Ontario mobile trailer. So being able to bring that to community members and to everybody within the homelessness services within the DSAB has been a really cool experience. And we changed it up again by creating a partnership with the legal clinic in the Sioux and the mainstream OW services in the Sioux. So we have a representative from Ontario Works in the trailer with our team, with Lexi and Jennifer, and we have a representative from the legal clinic in the Sioux in the trailer as well. So this means that a community member, if they need their birth certificate, they have the legal clinic there to process the birth certificate. And also just the payment. So Ontario Works pays for the cost of ID for anyone that's on OW or on ODSP. So it's a one-stop shop. And also many community members that are accessing homeless shelters and those sorts of things as well, maybe they don't even have an income. So if that's that first step, they have someone from OW right there, they can initiate those conversations around starting to establish an income. Or if they have something else going on with the legal clinic, if their ODSP application was denied, or if they have outstanding issues with their landlord, or if they have these other things going on, it's just that easy way to have an initial interaction with those services. So we've added a layer to our Service Ontario trailer for the DSAB partnership, and it really has gone really well so far. And there's a lot of excitement. It was pretty cool. Our first stop was at Pauline's Place in the Sioux, and the staff were really excited, and we had some other community partners accessing the trailer for their clients they were supporting. And it was just a whole new way of doing things, which at Nagaanin we're used to that a little bit. So I was really, it was heartwarming actually to bring that really positive service and new approach to these things and addressing that barrier. And it was a real feel good moment.
From the DSAV's perspective as well, the service on Ontario Trailer, mobile unit, it's been a game changer as well, because a lot of the people that are marginalized that we serve, whether they may be Indigenous or not, sometimes the Service Ontario experience has not been the best. It's not the most welcoming. So just the approach that Nagaanin uses to their service delivery, how welcoming the staff have been, and just the ease of access to having people within the community access a birth certificate or a health card. It really, we see this as a game changer. And I know our whole organization is super excited about just being able to access something in a different way. And Dorothy, maybe I should know the answer to this, but is the Service Ontario, the mobile unit, is that common across in other jurisdictions across other parts of Ontario? Or is that a really unique, a service that only exists within Northern Ontario?
I believe it to be the very first service of its kind, the mobile unit. I do know, I have heard that because our approach has been heard of now, that there's other interest in other communities to do something similar. Carrie, do you have any information about that?
Yeah, I thought because we were so successful with it, that it is the first in Ontario, that even Ontario themselves were looking at like how to expand on this idea, right? Because it, once it's in action, it just seems to make sense, right? But yeah, I'm not 100% aware of official other official mobile units, but I believe they're if they're not out there already, they're on their way, because of how Nagaanin has made it work, and it's working. Seems to be working well for our area.
And this is why we see the benefit of working with Nagaanin so closely, is that the organization is known as being very, very innovative, being able to deliver on results. And you've demonstrated that within the first weeks of the partnership by bringing that trailer and getting people IDs that never had IDs before. So I know when I'm speaking to other people within the mainstream, the service managers, quote unquote, as we're called, across Ontario, I was not aware of any other mobile ID hub or Service Ontario service that existed. So I thought it was unique to Northern Ontario, but I know that there's, from a Southern perspective as well, there's many people that are interested in that model, because I do think that bringing services to where people are, versus having people get up and move and navigate the system and get the services where they're located, I think by bringing people the services to where people reside or where it's easier for them to access is the model that the DSAB is very interested in expanding in the future.
Mike, I think it's worthwhile talking a little bit more about the model that we're proposing to use within the homelessness sites, in addition to the trailer. That's one piece of the services we're offering. But the model that we're working towards is being able to take our Indian and Dja Te Kokkien curriculum, which is our family program, and take those workshops, take that curriculum, and deliver that in a group format at all of the DSAB sites. So that includes the shelters, the community resource center, and the hubs. And in doing that, we can service everybody. We don't have to find out where you're from or what your background is or any of those things. That group programming can be offered to anybody within the DSAB sites. But then it also gives us that opportunity to connect with people and determine who from those groups fits the criteria for the bigger umbrella of services under North Shore Tribal Council and under Nagaanin. So where are our community members from the North Shore? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, because I think that's one big gap that we don't know. We have stats. We know that is it 65% of homelessness people within the Sioux identify as Indigenous, but we don't know which communities they're from. So this is an opportunity that I'm really looking forward to understanding where our community members are. So when they come to the trailer and we can get that information, or when they come into the group, we can say, oh, what? Where are you from? Where's your home? And those sorts of things. And we can start gathering that information so that we can really create appropriate services and we can understand the shift. I feel since COVID, there has been a huge shift in the urban Indigenous population in Northern Ontario. A lot of people are moving within the North and relocating to bigger centres or those sorts of things. But I don't think we have all the information we need to really create programming and supports that are relevant for everyone. So I think that's a big piece of this too, is finding out who are we servicing? Who are we building and creating programming for?
And I also think we need to just understand the demographics within the homelessness population, or the people who are in receipt of social services generally across the DSAP for sure. Because you're absolutely correct, Dorothy. Since COVID, there has been a significant shift, and we've seen more people coming into the city of Sault Ste. Marie to receive services or that are struggling. So one of the things that we're looking at is if we can start to identify where people are from, then hopefully we can work with Niganan, and maybe people may want to relocate back to their home community, or maybe they'll want to receive services in a different way. But unless we start asking some of those questions, because historically all that we've asked, are you Indigenous? And it's been a yes or a no. So I think going into that next level of questioning and getting a better data set will allow us to bring better services to people that are desperately in need of a more appropriate service mix than we've been able to provide through the mainstream system. We're also really looking at, Dorothy mentioned that 65% of the homelessness population self-identifies as Indigenous. That was through a 22 homelessness count that we did across the community. So that was there's a significant overrepresentation of Indigenous community members that are homeless within our community. And we're really excited about how can we serve that population in a different way that provides a better service to people, that maybe helps people in a little bit more holistically, or from a holistic service mix, in a better way than we've ever been able to do before. Because I always tell my team, I know what the status quo gets me. We look backwards and we can see exactly what the status quo is going to bring us. So unless we start to do things a little bit differently, and through the workshops that Dorothy and her team are proposing to offering people, we're also looking at, as people engage in some of the mental health services or treatment services that Niganan supports, we're also looking at trying to figure out a way of where do people go after they've done that, they've gone through some of the land-based detox. So we're really trying to make sure that we're having a robust and a holistic service mix within the city that allows people to engage through the Niganan services within our shelter system, or within areas of the community that are strategically located to serve folks. But as people start their recovery journey, how do we support them in some of their aftercare as well? And I'm hoping that, Dorothy, maybe you can expand on some of the services that we're looking at bringing online next year as well through this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good lead in to talk about another, I guess, partnership with DSAB, or another way that we can support each other, is we are in the process of establishing a residential location in the Sioux, which helps us build upon our aftercare supports now. So it's going to be a small venture. There's going to be room for three people who have done their land-based detox, they've done their treatment, they've taken part in our aftercare pieces. And the last thing, just that missing piece of the puzzle for them to get that sustainable recovery, is housing. And they need more time to solve that problem. And so by having a residential location within the Sioux, we can provide that to people. So we know that they're in stable recovery, somewhat stable recovery. We know that recovery has ups and downs and ebbs and flows, but they've shown that stability within their recovery, and they have that missing piece of of permanent housing. So they can reside at a house that DSAB is working to renovate currently in one of their other really awesome programs that involves refurbishing homes within the community and then being able to offer those to community members. But anyway, so this home is getting renovated and ready for us. And hopefully in the spring of 2024, we'll have that location where we can have some office space, have some programming, and have three rooms essentially for community members in stable recovery, just looking for their permanent housing. So, I mean, the quick way to say that is it's transitional housing for those community members that, you know, have gone through treatment and just looking to continue in a good way. Yeah, so we're really excited about that. But maybe, Mike, you want to share a little bit about that program in itself with the home renos.
Yeah, thank you. So Sault Ste. Marie, this is where the partnership, in my mind, you really start to see some of the benefits, because Ngaanin is known as an innovative organization that's trailblazing. And we like to think that the Sault Ste. Marie DSAB is an innovative DSAB as well. So in 2020, we received some funding from the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. And what we do is we will purchase a home within the city of Sault Ste. Marie that is in need of repair, and we will train, typically it's around 12 to 15 Ontario Works recipients on construction and building maintenance. So we have a trainer, a licensed carpenter that's under the DSAB employ, and he will provide training to people who are in receipt of Ontario Works, and they'll be taught drywall skills, they'll be taught home renovation skills. And what we do is, through a training program, is we completely renovate the home. And typically what we'll do is, once the home is renovated, we'll sell it back to someone who resides in social housing at a cost recovery basis. So we just had a key ceremony last month for a new family. We had a home that was renovated by Ontario Works recipients, program recipients. The home was sold to a family at $145,000, which is well below market for the city of Sault Ste. Marie. And we assist a family in applying for a mortgage and help walk them through just that whole process of becoming new homeowners for the very first time. So it does a few different things. It revitalizes neighborhoods within certain areas of our community. It provides critical skills training to people in receipt of Ontario Works, helps them get a job, and then it helps a family that is paying market rent within social housing exits the social housing, the rental experience, and get directly into that home ownership experience. So they start out with a net equity within their housing, within their home right off the bat. That program, from a training perspective, has been getting anywhere from 52% to 100% success rate on the employability side. So we know it is very, very effective. And rather than selling one of the homes that we've purchased, we started having conversations with Ngaanin about that aftercare model. So we're currently going to be starting that renovation in the next coming weeks. But rather than sell that home to a family, we thought, would it be a good fit for an aftercare model where Ngaanin could provide three individuals that have come through the program with some transitional housing as we get those folks into more a permanent independent housing framework within the city of Sault Ste. Marie direct? So that is not part of the Ngaanin partnership per se, but we've said we would love to really find a way where we start to bridge that gap. Can we look at providing some skills training to people that may need it, more of an Indigenous-based cohort? How do we really start to strengthen this program? Because we know that the program is very successful in getting people employed. But is there a way that we can also leverage some of our... Because one of the strengths of the DSAB is we have a very, very strong balance sheet. So we can look at how do we provide assets to Ngaanin in a way that Ngaanin may not be able to provide some of those assets for its service mix. So I think that dipping into this type of partnership as well, I don't know where it's going to end up, but I do anticipate that it will be bringing positive results to both organizations and, more importantly, the community as we start to strengthen these types of partnerships in the future.
Yeah, I think you said that well. I think it's one of those pieces where recognizing each agency's or each organization's strengths and being able to offer those to one another, recognizing that we have that common goal at the end of the day. And like Mike talked about, that overrepresentation of Indigenous people within the homelessness sector in the Sioux, it does make a lot of sense that we're at the table with them trying to come up with these innovative ways to move forward in a good way. And I think there's something probably worth chatting about a little bit today. And Carrie, you talked about it, that overlap of services. And oftentimes we hear this term used where we don't want to have duplication of services or be redundant and all of these sorts of things. And I think what's important to understand in finding that balance where, no, we don't want duplication of services. We don't want to have too much of one thing or have that spread between various agencies in some cases. But we also want to create lots of options for people, regardless of your background or where you're from. Or, you know, we want different things. We need different things. And being able to create options for people to go one path or another. We don't want to make assumptions about what people need and what people want. So being able to create aftercare services and supports that look different, and being able to create various programming models, it's just finding that balance where we might be able to do something similar, but it's different, and then it creates that option for community members as well.
Dorothy, that's a really good point, and even on the options for Niigaani or North Shore Tribal Council Niigaani community members. I also believe that if we have Indigenous-based services, I'm hopeful that there's some people in our community that may not be Indigenous but could really benefit from that Indigenous-based service perspective. Because we're just trying to find a way to offer services in a way that connects with people. So I do know that this partnership is an Indigenous focus within Niigaani in specific, but we also know that many people who are struggling, it's just to find a way to offer services or to offer a service entrance in a way that may resonate with them. So I do think that expanding, strengthening and then expanding in the Indigenous perspective and the Indigenous service model, I'm hoping that we can go further and offer it in future to people who just feel that's that service connects with them, you know, whether it be spiritually, whether it be emotionally, or whatever. But how do we really start to offer service solutions in a way that brings people choice, brings people agency, but also allows them to connect with the service provider in a way that just it goes beyond what we're currently doing from the DSAB. So I really, really appreciate that comment.
Well, and I think that we can talk a little bit as well about some of the pieces we're going to be offering kind of under that model, is being able to give some professional development opportunities for the DSAB staff. So within our partnership, we're going to create space for staff under the DSAB to access some of our workshops, our professional stream workshops, that will give that opportunity to understand what, largely we deliver the same materials, but we say professional stream, but really in many cases it's the same materials. Sometimes it shifts and changes based on specific needs or which professionals we're providing those programs to. But what it will do is it'll give that opportunity for this DSAB staff to access some of our programming, and then they can understand what we're offering to community members, as well as strengthen their own knowledge and own understanding, and give some access to that Indigenous perspective to pull forward in the work that they do, or just for their own personal growth and wellness. Because we do know that the programming that we offer, as much as we want to absolutely prioritize our Robinson-Huron Treaty communities and community members, we also want to be able to offer something that works for anybody that wants it. So finding that balance between those two, and as we grow and as we build capacity, part of that capacity building is going to be strengthening the workforce within the DSAP, so we can build that awareness, create that cultural safety, and find that good medicine for whoever you are and whatever you do. If this sounds like it's a good fit, then it should be available to you. So how do we do that? And I think we have, you know, taken a couple of steps in that direction, and we certainly can grow.
Yeah, I know our team, our management team, and our staff were excited to learn. And I just think it's a really important lesson as we go through this, and we tried to say it from the onset of establishing the partnership. There's a time for the DSAB to lead, and there's a time for the DSAB to follow. And I think that this is a time for the DSAB to follow and just learn from the Ngaanin team about what that right approach is of how can we enhance the current staff within our organization. Is there a way that we can provide them with teachings and knowledge that complements the work that they do? Because they're doing some really, really tough work with some people who need there's some extraordinary work going on, but there's also some people who are really, really in a bad way right now. So how can we just do things differently that brings a better experience to the people that we're all collectively trying to help?
I think part of the thing that I'm looking forward to, I guess, is from a community perspective, just backing up to one of the things you talked about earlier with the housing, but it applies to a lot of the things that we talked about. So in our communities are really focused of like, how do we do things within, or we're confined by offering services within the community, but we know we have so many members away from home. And so hearing about the work that you already do, and then this partnership of the potential there and the things you're working on already, I don't know, it just... I really like that. I really appreciate that this is happening and we're learning about it. And also hearing that not just our Indigenous services for our people are looking at how to do better, but also, you know, regular or mainstream, I'm not sure the right term to use there, are also looking for ways to incorporate more of the way we do things, right? Yeah, because the kind of a common understanding of not one way is the best way, right? That there's many ways to support folks or help each other. Yeah, I really love that.
I think maybe we can talk a little bit about our Kinomagawin project and how this can play a key role in that, because we're quickly, that ball is rolling, and we've been working really hard at our Kinomagawin site with our partnership with Thessalon First Nation to get our greenhouses growing and to create that land-based space to offer our land-based treatment and our residential aftercare on the land, and that more significant pre-treatment piece as well. So we know that we know that overrepresentation of Indigenous people within the criminal justice system, within the child welfare system, within the homelessness system, we know that that is there and present. And oftentimes one of the reasons community members end up moving to the city or couch surfing in the city or being homeless in the city is because they get tied up within one of those systems. And then to follow through with appointments and connect with their probation officers or attend their bail supervision appointments or attend their court dates or whatever it is, they end up kind of floating around in the urban centers trying to fulfill those obligations. So when we can establish pathways from the urban centers that can allow people to see what their options really truly are and to create those pathways so that as Thessalon gets, we're continuing to get that underway and the services aren't too far away now where we'll have that land-based treatment. If we have that established place within Sault Ste. Marie and those pathways being built, then we can start filling up that site with our community members that are stuck within the system, and then be the ones to advocate for them within those systems so that they can find that way to move forward in a good way while still addressing all those obligations, making sure that their court dates are addressed and that their legal matters are addressed and that any outstanding warrants are dealt with and those sorts of things. So we do that now on a smaller scale within the Anishinaabe services, just under our normal case management model. We address that. If we know that that's a situation for someone, that they have outstanding charges, that they are released on bail or they're in custody and need help establishing a bail plan that satisfies the court so they can get released and go to treatment and do all those good things. But just really making those pathways strong and an awareness within the Sioux that, hey, Naganin's here, Kinomagaywin's here. We have all of these services available to our community members and potentially others as space allows. Then we're going to be in a real good position once Kinomagaywin is fully up and running. There'll be that awareness and that knowledge, and then we can optimize our capacity there and have those spots filled really fast.
So one of the things that the DSAP has been trying to do as we really strengthen this partnership, I've asked the director, I've asked Dorothy, is there any key messages or is there any messages that you would like us to speak, not speak on your behalf, but to try to reinforce to sometimes the provincial or the federal governments when we are in meetings ourselves about how we can try to get this program up and running? Because from our from the Sault Ste. Marie's, the city's perspective, and when we're looking at it, there's a mental health and addictions crisis that exists within our communities. We do know that we need to desperately expand treatment options, and we need to expand healthcare options for people that are residing within our collective communities. So if there's a way that the treatment program that Dorothy was referencing can be expanded and enhanced and be First Nation led, First Nation based, but is there a message that you would like us to deliver, to that minister as we're meeting? So let us know what to say and how to say it, and we will gladly try to reinforce the urgent need of getting this program up and running, and to make sure that it is sufficient and sustainable well into the future for future generations. So that's something that I did not anticipate, embarking on, but we've asked the director, if there is a message that you want us to deliver, please let us know, and we will gladly deliver that message whenever we're having municipal meetings or whenever we're having provincial meetings, to try to make sure that voice is a resounding, it's a resounding need across the whole district.
Make watch for that, Mike. And I think largely the awareness that we are working together, that we are finding that common ground and those common goals, and finding the ways that we're more alike than we are different, and finding ways to move forward in a good way. I think that that's powerful in itself, to say, hey, we know that North Shore Tribal Council is embarking on these land-based projects and these longer-term treatment models and these unique and fully wraparound type aftercare services. We want to support that. I think that's a really easy way, I think, to promote that there is some unity, that acknowledgement that we can stay autonomous in the work that we do, but find those ways to support each other. And how do we do that in a good way? I think that in itself is a valuable message.
I think as well, our Niganin's motto, or one of our phrases that we use time and again, is no one gets left behind. So when we're looking at ways to help our people, like this partnership is a great example of that, right? There, you have to always be looking at how do you, if that's your goal or what you're aspiring to, or what we're aiming to do, then there's so many ways that we can tackle that, which includes things like working with folks outside of Niganin, like Dorothy mentioned earlier, you have strengths and we have strengths. And as long as it's helping the people do, you know, the work that they want to do or help them with their goals or improve things, then yeah, that's a positive. And is there anything that we want to mention before we sign off for the day? Is there any announcements or things that we want to share with our listeners?
I don't have any announcements that we're coming to make, but I just really want to reinforce that it's really, really important for myself, for our board and our employees, that we really want to work from a nation to community relationship, the First Nation to the community of Sault Ste. Marie. On a community basis, I think that there's just so much opportunity to improve the lives of the people that we collectively provide service to. There's a lot of members that are living within the city of Sault Ste. Marie that are in need of services in a different way, or just in need of basic services. So I'm just really, really excited about the opportunity to work together. We do see this as a model for the future, and we're excited to see how we can, you know, it's still new and it's still in its infant stages, but how do we start to mature this model, and how do we really start to do some of the important work that we're collectively doing, you know, under the guise of this kind of a relationship? I don't know where the end is, but I'm really, really excited about the beginning.
Megwetch, Mike, I think I can echo those statements as well. I started out, when I moved to the Sault, I started out working supporting community members within the criminal justice system and within the homelessness sector. And I did have that opportunity to learn and work on the homelessness prevention team for a period of time. So when this opportunity presented itself, I felt like I had some knowledge going in, and I felt like this is something that we could really do, like in that Nagaaning way, being able to come in and provide supports and create that mutual learning where we're learning about the needs of Sault Ste. Marie and the needs within the homelessness services under the DSAB, and vice versa, where we can have that reciprocity as our relationship grows. So we can provide some of that good solid work that we've done in and around like development of curriculum and workshops and land-based programming, and just really have that give and take. So that's the end goal, is to really build that reciprocity and establish that relationship and trust that we can both do what we need to do and move forward with that respectful, kind, beneficial, useful relationship with that common goal of wanting to support all community members who are navigating these difficult systems to find their foothold and to move forward and to get out of that often cyclical experience of being homeless and having all of those barriers. So Megwetch, Carrie, for the opportunity to share about this partnership, and hopefully we'll be back, you know, in a few months' time to share a little bit more about some outcomes and some exciting feel-good stories about where it ends up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure. I'm already, because I'm coming in and learning about this now, so not part of the years of work that has taken everyone to get to where we are today, but I'm already thinking like about the model you're talking about, Mike, and having it ready for other places, because we have community members not only in Sault Ste. Marie, but other centers as well. So yeah, looking, if other cities are listening and keeping an eye on how things are developing, I think that'll be really great for our people. So yeah, Miigwech for joining us.
Miigwech, and thank you very, very much for having me. It's truly been a privilege, and I consider it an honor.
Miigwech, Carrie. Miigwech, Mike.
Well, thanks again for joining us on the Nagaaning podcast and sharing about this. I'm looking forward to hearing that update for sure, Dorothy, and seeing where it goes and where it grows. So, miigwech and ba ma pi.